I'm Katie Clark, and this is The World. For our global hit today, we meet a singer who hails from Norway. She grew up in a Muslim immigrant community there. Dia, as she's known, made a name for herself at an early age. But success also made her the target of harassment and threats. And now she's speaking out. The World's Andrea Smartin has her story.
Dia didn't start her musical career intending to make a statement. But when she put out this single with rapper Young Melee, she knew it would cause a stir. The song is called What Will It Be, and the video shows a series of people ripping tape off of their mouths. It also shows a lot of Dia's midriff. At the end of the video, Dia throws off a full black burqa to reveal her bikini-clad body.
What I was trying to do was draw a line in the sand, saying enough. But essentially, it was about standing up and sort of claiming myself in some ways and saying that it no more.
Dia has faced a strong backlash, including harassment, assaults, and threats since she began performing. After years of trying to dodge these confrontations, she says the song What Will It Be was the first time she addressed the problem directly. Dia was born Deepika Tatal in Oslo, Norway. Her Pakistani father and Afghani mother are Sunni Muslims. By the time Dia was 7, she showed promise as a singer, so her father made some plans.
He sat me down and said that, you know, listen, there are two professions that I know of where it only matters how talented you are or how hard you work, where you will not be judged or discriminated against because of your ethnicity, your culture, or your gender. And those two professions are, you know, either sports or music. And he said, you know, sports I know nothing about, so it's going to have to be music.
She studied with respected teachers from Pakistani and Northern Indian classical traditions. Dia was a teenager when she put out two critically acclaimed albums. But some conservative Muslims in Norway didn't like the image she was presenting, especially when she showed her uncovered back in a video. Dia and her family received threatening phone calls. People spat at her, called her names, and she was attacked at a concert. She decided to leave Norway.
It got to a point where I could not literally walk down the street without something happening, without some sort of incident taking place. And I just decided that it wasn't worth me putting my family through more of this.
At the age of 19, Dia bought a one-way ticket to London. There, she released a single with a video called Plan of My Own. I got a plan of my own. Listen and learn. I waited so long and you already jumped my stomach bones. I got a plan of my own. Listen and learn. Oh, I got a plan of my own. I'm moving on. The video featured Dia dancing seductively, and it unleashed outrage from some Muslims in the UK. Dia found herself in a familiar position. This time, she decided to move to the U.S.
Actions speak louder than words.
Dia is now 31. She says the threats and harassment have taken a toll. Her latest album is called Ataraxis, which means the absence of stress or anxiety. It's a collaboration with jazz and electronic musicians. She says it wasn't so much a career move as it was a form of therapy.
I just needed to sort of retreat and just do music, just do whatever I felt like. And through music, you know, trying to find that peace of mind again that, you know, I seem to keep losing because of all these other sort of external problems.
The first song is called Hope, and it features a recording of Dia singing on television when she was 7 years old.
And the song is actually one of the hymns that Mahatma Gandhi was very, very fond of, and it's basically about peace, and it's about coexistence and about tolerance and understanding. And you know, a seven-year-old singing it in you know, a seven-year-old innocent, you know, naive, hopeful, and also somewhat ignorant way too, I thought was, you know, really quite sweet and also quite sad.
On the album, Dia draws from the classical training of her youth. She sings mostly in Punjabi and Urdu, her first languages. She also includes a song in Pashto, her mother's language. She ends the album with a song featuring prayers from different faiths, including Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. The song is called Oneness. Dia says she doesn't know what's next for her musically. These days, she's focused on helping other women, especially young Muslim women.
I've had countless emails and messages and letters from girls who say, you know, we really wish we could do what you do. You know, we really want to, but we can't, we're not allowed to, or we're not supposed to, or whatever.
Dia has launched a project called Sisterhood. She's produced an online compilation of female Muslim singers, rappers, and poets from around the world. And she says she's trying to find ways to mentor young artists, to connect them with producers and studios. She says the point is to create a support network.
I don't want them to feel what I've had to feel. I don't want them to have to go through some of the things that I've gone through. So I think that's why, you know, the more of us there are, the better and easier this is going to get.
For the world, I'm Andrea Smartin.
Break it down. You can stand up.
Our theme music was composed by Eric Goldberg. The World is produced by Andrew Sussman with Andrea Crossan, Alex Galifant, Joyce Hackle, Carol Hill, David Lavalley, April Peavy, Adeline Sear, Tracy Tong, and Carol Zoll. Anne Lopez is our director. Our editors are Ken Bader, David Barron, Jennifer Goring, George Lewinsky, and Peter Thompson. William Troop is senior editor. Chris Wolf is news editor. Our managing editor is Rob Hugh Jones. The executive producer of The World is Bob Ferrante. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH, I'm Katie Clark. You can join us online at theworld.org. Have a great weekend.